This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Anyway, okay, you have your Christmas tree yet?
No, not even close. No red or green, nothing of Christmas.
No Christmas spirit at all.
No lights, bah humbug.
Hand clap. No?
No, that's where I'm at. And you?
No, I got played yesterday, so... here's the deal. So, you know, Jen, she likes to get the thing up early.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week she goes, do you think we could just, like, get the stuff out?
Smooth.
So that was smooth, right? Dumb old me, right? So I go, okay, I'll get in the attic, pull all the stuff out and stack it up.
You're just trying to be a kind, gentle guy, yeah. Make it happen.
Yeah, so... You know what happened. So I got the Christmas tree is up, the garland's up. We're doing some more stuff too. Totally, man. I just got played on that one. So, like, how many are like, no Christmas till after Thanksgiving? Right? Woohoo! Oh, how about Christmas before Thanksgiving? Yeah! See, okay. I call that 50-50.
I'd say somewhat, yeah, a little bit
no
more.
Kidding. So, man, glad you guys are here today. Thank you online for joining us. So it's Thanksgiving Sunday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how many are traveling next week? Let's see. Anybody staying home? Roasting a turkey? That costs you now like, you know, $65 to buy a turkey?
Yes.
Are you thinking about that? Have you bought a turkey?
We do have a turkey, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's awesome. I was at the store the other day, and the dude said... I just sold a prime rib. Guess how much? You want to guess? $100, yeah. Just shy of $300.
Come on.
No joke. I'm thinking, like, you just bought the whole cow. The guy says, I couldn't believe it. I actually checked the price, you know. So, like...
That's wild.
Enjoy your dinner. You better hang on to that one for a while. Anyway, so you probably don't know this. You might know of this guy named Edward Spencer, but I'm pretty sure you don't know him personally. Because he was alive during the 1800s, so...
Well, there you go.
I'm pretty sure of that right there. But he has an interesting story, and if you search for Edward Spencer, you'll read about it. But he was attending Northwestern. He was a student university there. And one morning, he got up early to kind of prepare for the school day. He and some other students were doing that, and they were walking along the shore of Lake Michigan, and they began to see stuff, so wreckage. And pretty soon, they actually saw bodies and so on. Well... Edward Spencer ran and got a life jacket because what had happened is that Lady Elgin had collided with a schooner over, and actually about 300 to 400 people lost their lives during that accident in the 1800s. Hmm. And so he got his life preserver and floated out, and there was a lady hanging onto some wreckage or something, and he helped her in. And for 3 hours, he kept going back out. And Edward Spencer is credited with saving 17 lives that day. Interesting thing is, part of his story is that because of the, you know, I think the temperatures of the water or something like that, he was injured for life. He dealt with physical disabilities for all his life as a result of his rescue of 17 people. Kind of interesting because he was interviewed some decades later, and the interviewer asked him this question. What was the most, I got right here, what was the most, Mr. Spencer, you're credited with saving 17 lives. As you look back decades later, what is the one thing that you hold on to from that day? And it's kind of interesting, his response. He says that ever since that day, not one of the 17 has ever come back and said thank you. Man, can you believe it? So I'm sure that the response of that crowd was like our response, like this dude saved your life.
Right.
And no one even thought about saying thank you, you know, so.
It's pretty messed up.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up, is right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Spencer is not the only person to experience that. I mean, throughout the ages, that's been the case. And in fact, Jesus found himself in a similar situation during his time. It was a time, just to kind of help us understand what was taking place at that moment that he experienced that. He lived within a Jewish community that had a certain way of doing things. And the way that things worked was that the way that this law was set up is if a person had a rash or some kind of skin disease, what the people would do if they had one is they would go to the priest, and the priest would determine whether that person was fit to continue in the community life or if they needed to be ostracized and put outside of the community. And so quite often, people who did end up having a rash or having something that was ongoing found themselves ostracized. They were quarantined, and in many ways, like, that was sort of like before lockdowns were a thing here, like those were already happening back then. That was a thing. Those people were put into a whole different place. And so Jesus is making his way through this area. It's an area kind of between Galilee, which was a Jewish place. The Jewish people lived there. And Samaria, which in the most basic way, Samaria and the Samaritans were half Jewish. So they weren't fully Jewish. They were sort of second-class Jewish people. And Jesus found himself working his way through there on his way to Jerusalem. And as he was on his way, he came across a group of lepers, a group of people who had the skin disease so badly that they were ostracized. They were kept out of community. They were separated from everybody else. And as he's making his way down towards them and making his way through the town, they see these coming and they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus hears them and he stops. Now, I wish I could tell you that what happens next is what Jesus does is he goes over and he touches the lepers and they're healed and life goes on. I mean, that would be really sweet, right? And that would be a great way to have the story end. I mean, we see that happen in Luke chapter 5 where Jesus does that very thing. There was a guy who had leprosy. Jesus came over and he healed him in that moment. And it's a spectacular moment. But in this moment, with these lepers that were there, that wasn't what took place at all. In fact, once Jesus sees them, what he tells them to do, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And that's it. No miracle, no miracle moment, no pizzazz, no amazing moment that we can go, "Wow, look at what happened just in that moment." I mean, here it is. These people who were experiencing a hardship, a very difficult moment in their life, they call out to Jesus. And Jesus' response was to go see the priest. After Jesus had this conversation with them, think about this. They were still lepers. And maybe if you were one of the 10 lepers that were there that day, maybe something might run through your mind like this of, "You're telling me to go to the priest? Like, I did that." In fact, that's why we're ostracized to the place that we are right now, because I went to the priest. And you know where that landed me? It landed me away from my community. It landed me away from my family. It landed me away from being able to connect with the people in my world. And now you're telling me to go to that same person again? But what are the options, right? I mean, either they listen to him or they don't. And they really didn't have many more options to go through. And so, as humiliating as it was, Scripture lets us know that they started to move. And what Scripture lets us know is that on their way to heading towards the priest, they were cleansed. Now, here's the deal. We don't know how far they got. We don't know if right away, like once they stepped away from Jesus, they were cleansed right then, or if they made their way all the way to the priest, and that's when they were healed. We don't get to know that in Scripture. All we know is that somewhere along the way, they were cleansed.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think you used the word humiliation, you know, of even going back to the priest. Just think about that event, because as you say, like, that's what put us into isolation, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just thinking, I mean, humanly speaking, if you like put yourself into the story, they had to be thinking, like, "We want what you did," right? So mm-hmm. it was instant healing. But
right.
That happened, so... but Jesus did send them on their way. So just think about it for just a moment. All were healed, right? All were healed. So just visualize that moment. Can't let your mind go there. So the isolation that some have experienced, you know, in this COVID weirdness thing going on, all that kind of stuff, like, it's probably didn't even come close to comparing what these guys did, like separated from families, from close relationships. But all of a sudden, as they were healed, like, imagine what they were thinking, like, "I get to go home and have a meal."
Right.
Right? I get to do that. Relationships are restored. Family meals are restored. All of these things. and one returned as a result. So just think back to that story I shared with you just a few moments ago about, right, Edward Spencer, right? Like, nobody returned. Well, one returned here. And this is what Jesus says in verse number 19. He goes, no one else? No one else? And then he says to this one, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. It's interesting that word well, sozo. So wellness that would have included like every part. Can you just imagine? There's the physical, you know, thing going on with leprosy. It just disfigures you. It eats away at your skin. Mm-hmm. And that would be bad enough. But man, what would the emotional thing be?
Right.
Right.
To be in a spot, to be able to just enter in. There'd be something so, to move from a spot of isolation to knowing you can connect again.
That's huge. Totally. So like, that had to be so hard and so difficult, you know, like you can't be around people. You can only be with people that are like you, right? And as a leper. So the question is, why does Luke put this in here? So he's a doctor, right? So maybe that was the reason. I don't know. But why does Luke include this story? And then the next question is like, what can you and I learn from it on this Thanksgiving Sunday? So we want to offer and answer three questions for us just to kind of mull over and consider for just a moment. What's it mean to move from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving? So stepping into gratitude, moving from Thanksgiving as being just a day on the calendar to Thanksgiving. So every day is a day to express our gratitude. So three questions we're going to kind of toss out to you and to talk about for just a moment. Number one is who they went to. Now it might be obvious. Yeah, they went to Jesus. That's true. But what does that mean to you and me? Who they went to, and then who they listened to, right? And thirdly, who they thanked. And again, all of those might be very, very, you know, like obvious from the story that Mario just shared, but what's it mean to you and me? So who did they go to?
Right, who they went to, that matters.
That matters.
Because who they went to is somebody that really is important. Word had gotten around about this guy, Jesus. I mean, think about it. Word had gotten around enough that when they saw him coming, they knew that they could call out to him. You see, all the other figures around that arena, these high and mighty people, there was a distance that was kept between them. But they knew that there was something about this guy, Jesus, that they could call out to him. It was as if he welcomed them, as if he was beckoning them, as if he was inviting them into relationship, so much so that they knew that they could call out to him. This Jesus was right there in their midst, and he's walking by. This was the one they had heard about and who they could cry out to in their desperation. It was this Jesus. It was the only one who would rescue them from their current sentence that they were in, the spot of being isolated, the spot of being taken away from being in community. He was the one that could do something about it. And it was the same Jesus, this one who was walking through that day, is the same Jesus that at another point along the way said these words. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That Jesus is the same Jesus that speaks to us today. That regardless of our circumstance, regardless of what we might find ourselves in, whether we're heavy laden or heavy burdened, this Jesus invites us into relationship with him. He invites us to call out to him. You see, for many of us, it's going to cause us to start looking to so many other places for life, for healing, for help. And so for us, there's this intentional move in our part that leads from thanksgiving to thanksliving by stepping into a spot where we respond to the invitation that Jesus is giving us. He gives us an invitation to come, to present our needs, to say, God, this is where I'm at. You see my affliction, and to boldly come. We get to trust him regardless of whatever the pain is, whatever we're experiencing, and recognize that he invites us into relationship with us. Jesus is indeed on our side.
Yeah, so the word is invitation, right? Will we accept the invitation to come to him? You know, it's interesting. I think of it often. Probably we all do, but the same Jesus that invited these lepers to step into something is the same Jesus that's alive today, right? So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. So the Jesus that extended this invitation, right, to these lepers to follow him and to obey him is the same Jesus that invites you into me. So we talk about intentionality, right? Being people that are intentional about a relationship with Jesus and stepping into this in this invitation. So I use a little illustration. So a few years ago, built a pizza oven. You've seen it.
I have seen it.
It's pretty nice.
It's pretty impressive.
So it's like outdoor one, right? So this big pizza oven. And so visualize it for a moment. So if I give you an invitation to come on over and have pizza, right, you have to do one thing.
That's make a choice.
You have to make a choice. I'm going to accept that invitation or not.
Right.
And if you do, you'll be blessed because I make some pretty good pizza, right? If you don't,
I miss out.
So do we get that? So Jesus extends his invitation to you and to me, just like he did for the lepers. But will we? Will we accept it? Who did they listen to? The lepers had to make a decision in that moment. And you're right, like, all of a sudden we're not healed. What happened with that? But Jesus says, look, this is what you need to do. And they had a decision to make in that moment, just like you had a decision to accept the invite or not. Jesus spoke to them, told them what to do, right? Here they are crying out with missing limbs, right? Fingers and hands, nose, ear, maybe half of a foot. They're all missing because that's what leprosy would do. But what's there to lose, right? We're not going to lose anymore. So when Jesus told them to do something, I don't know, did they want to do it? I don't know, but at least they did. Okay, let's give it a try. And when they obeyed, something happened. Now, as you said, we don't know how far they journeyed before they started realizing this healing, but just let your mind go there for just a moment, what that was like. Was it instant? Maybe. Maybe not. I'm kind of thinking like, they're walking along and they're experiencing this healing, like, you know, they look over and go like, dude, you got your nose back.
And you got a leg back.
I got a leg back. Yeah, and your ear.
Looking pretty good.
Testing, one, two, one, two, one, two. You know, and I think all that was going on, right? It had to, and fingers were, I couldn't point before, but now I can point, right? And all of a sudden, because they listened to, they walked in obedience, all of a sudden they began to experience this incredible healing that not only restored their physical being, but restored them socially, right? Can you imagine being restored right back into normal life?
So cool.
Like physically well. And so the intentional move on our part that leads to thanksgiving is to step into a life of obedience that leads to a life of blessing. So we receive the invitation to come to him with whatever we might be carrying today. Probably not leprosy, right? But maybe something else. Maybe there are worries or there are concerns, or you don't know what the future is going to hold. You don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe it's job-related, relationship. I don't know. But to step in that invitation, say, Jesus, would you heal this part of my life, right? Receiving that and then walking in obedience. So what is he telling you today? For some of us, that journey is always going to be just the next step, right? It's always, I mean, they didn't go from there to there. It was a step.
Right.
It was a step. And I'm kind of thinking that maybe it was with a limp first before they were healed, but they just kept on going, right? And they kept walking in obedience to Jesus. And because they obeyed, they realized this incredible blessing. For some of us, he's been calling us to obey him, but you know, that's difficult sometimes, right? Because we go like, God, if I obey you, that means I'm going to have to put my faith in you and I'm going to have to trust you. And in this one thing, it's really, really difficult and it's really, really hard. But there's a joy in obedience. So responding to that call, so with the invitation and then the call and then the response.
And then the response. Yeah. You know, I had the opportunity to share this very same passage with some of our kids at for our chapel. Yeah. And it was so great as they enacted this whole thing of moving from the spot of limping in their arms. And then all of a sudden, as they made this journey, as they started to, like, my hands work. It was so cool to see them take this on and recognize this is what healing can look like. It was so neat to see. And we know that there's such a significant thing in who they thanked. We know that one thanked someone because Luke tells us. He returned to Jesus and he gave thanks. But what about the other nine? Did the other nine just kind of pat themselves on the back and say, hey, good job, look at what happened? Did they congratulate each other on the idea of what took place? If they made it to the priest, maybe they made it that far. Again, Scripture doesn't tell us. Was it that they thanked the priest instead? We don't know. But what we do know is that those nine, they never made their way back to Jesus. The only thing we know for sure is that none of the nine came back to give thanks to the one in that moment. But one of them did. And you might remember earlier I talked about this idea of people being Jewish and then people being half Jewish, the Samaritan people. Out of that group of 10, the only one that came back was the foreigner, the outcast, the one who was beyond outcast, leper and Samaritan. That's the one that came back. And when he came back, he received not just something that took place, healing on the outside, but healing on the inside as well. He received something in that moment. Now, were the other nine lepers thankful? I imagine they were.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, how can you not be for what took place? But the one who returned shows us something, that something happens when we take the time to verbally offer thanks for the things that take place in our life. And I think there's something that we can take away for our lives here. You see, first we start by thanking God for what he's done, thanking for all that he's given us. And I know that many times, sometimes our circumstances might feel like that can be a hard thing to do, but to come and pause and recognize that if you're breathing today, you have something to be thankful for. To recognize that whether you have much or you have little, we have something to be thankful for. That if you say you're a follower of Jesus, that gives you more than enough to be thankful for, to start in that place. And then it moves beyond just thanking God to thanking the people in our lives. I mean, what would happen in your relationships if you chose to start your day or end your day as you come home from work and you're on the lookout for how you will give thanks to your spouse? Or as your spouse comes home, what if you practice this idea of being on the lookout for how you can give thanks? What about in the workplace to be able to give thanks? Look for opportunities to give thanks in your workplace. Or maybe it's your kids. You know, the stuff that they do that they're supposed to do, that they've been tasked to do, the roles that they do. That instead of just simply saying, well, good, that's something you're supposed to do, you're expected to do this, to continue to offer thanks even in those moments. We know that's something that you're supposed to do, but thank you nonetheless. Can you imagine how that would shape your household? How that would shape your workplace? Maybe most importantly, how it would shape you in the way that you live in the world. You see, we were created in such a way that we are meant to be a people of blessing, to live a life, not just a moment, not just a day of Thanksgiving, but a life of Thanksgiving. And so this intentional move on our part that leads to Thanksgiving is a life of what we call gratitude, to be grateful for the things that come our way. It's this kind of intentionality.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I'm going to toss something your way and just see if you guys think this is true too. So I think the most difficult time, perhaps, to live a life of thanksgiving is when things are going well. You think?
Well, it's hard to put it in the right spot anyways.
Well, because I'm thinking that so often, you know, when we're in great need and we go to the Lord or a need is met, man, immediately we're so thankful. But the further we get away from that event,
right,
it just kind of diminishes. And I've just discovered that in life, things are going well, and it can slip out of our mind.
Exactly. Just right? Keep moving on through life.
Keep moving on through life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So during the good times, during the difficult times, living a life of thanksgiving. So we're going to give you three questions this morning and then some homework, okay? Okay, so you got real quiet with the homework thing, right? Like that. It won't be difficult. Okay, number one is this, and we're going to pray. So like where do you need to turn something over to him to accept the invitation? So what are you living with right now, right? It's not leprosy, thank the Lord, but it might be something else. You might be in need of a miracle. you might be carrying worry or concern or fear or broken relationship or something. What do you need to turn over to Him? Because the invitation is there to come, right? Cast all of our burdens on Him, for He cares for you. So what do you need to accept that invitation for? Think about that. Number two, where might you step into obedience to Jesus to experience His blessing? So like He's calling you to do something, like to take the first step, like start that journey, and then trust Him. So in what area is He calling you to obedience? Like maybe He's saying, this is what you need to do, and if you do this, right, you'll experience this. So just think about that. Where are you not responding to Him? And thirdly, where might we step into gratitude today for thanks living? So that kind of leads into the homework. Are you ready? I should make you promise that you're going to do it on the way out, but I'm not going to do that, right? Okay, so here's the thing. Like, don't just leave today and go like, okay, the worship, it's a great day to be at church today and house of the Lord. Like, live this out. So as you leave, when you're driving, right, as you're walking out, express to somebody that you're with, maybe it's your family, so you're going to go around the car, what are you thankful for today? Maybe it's on your way out. If you're here as a family of one, maybe it's somebody you can text. Maybe it's somebody that you can call, right? But let's step into gratitude, shall we?
Right.
And let's openly, and let's not just make it one day. That's Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving. So we're going to pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pray, Mario's going to pray. And I'm just going to pray with this, that if we have difficulty, I know that sometimes we do, like accepting the invitation from Jesus, like for, there are any number of reasons, and I get that, but that we would step into that invitation, and then we also would step into the obedience that Jesus is calling us to. Then Mario's going to pray as we step into gratitude, but can we just do that just with our eyes closed? Just think about for just a moment the invitation from Jesus today. Father, I thank You today that You have called us into relationship with You. And that's not like a one-time event. It's like it happened and now I'm in a relationship, but You call us continually to live in this relationship, to respond to this invitation, to come to You with all the needs that we have. And some of us today, we're living in worry. Some of us are living in fear, perhaps. Some of us, we're living in a broken relationship that there just seems to be no way forward. But You've invited us to come, cast that burden on You, give that to You, give that care to You. So all over this place and online, can we just do that right now? It's like from your heart, say, God, I'm going to give You this. Like I've been carrying it, and it's weighing me down. It might be job-related, it might be family-related, something internal, but Jesus, in this moment, I'm giving You this. And what's He saying to you about obedience? Where's the journey start for you? Is it a phone call? Is it a text? What's He saying? Like, you just got to take the next step. And as we do, we experience the blessing of obedience. So God, help me and help us, I pray, to step into the invitation and to step into the joy of obedience.
Lord, some of us, it's just so easy to just live out life. We come before You this morning confessing that we forget to pause, to come back, and to give You thanks. There's so many good things that can come our way that we just continue to move throughout life, and we come back and say, oh Lord, forgive us for forgetting You. This morning we return. We turn around and we come back and we recognize You once again for who You are, Lord over all, and for what You've done by coming and offering Your life as a sacrifice so that we could live. And it's as we remember, Lord, what You've done for us, who You are and what You've done, that something changes within us, that we recognize that we have no life without You. And with that, Lord, a heart of gratitude starts to well up within, fresh and anew. And as it does, Lord, we want to say thank you. We do say thank you in this moment. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for being God and Lord over all. And Lord, we want to be conduits. We want to be a people known as a conduit of your love, as a conduit of your blessing, a conduit of your gratitude to this world. Help us to be that, Lord. Grant us the courage, the humility to be able to be in a spot to offer gratitude in places where we normally wouldn't, whether it's family members, loved ones, friends, people at work, whoever it is that you might be placing on our hearts. As you do, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would grant us the courage to do that very thing. And Lord, I pray that as we choose to be obedient as a people, when we see something that we haven't seen before, the miracle hand of you at work as your people choose to be obedient to you. And so once again, fresh and anew, God, we offer ourselves to you as a life of gratitude. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.